Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. We are having our very first series of shows. What makes a series? I'm not quite sure, but I'm just going to say it is about one topic in a sequential event that is more than two. We've had two-part series before where I just couldn't fit everything into one show. But now we're going to have a series, and you might be asking, well, how long is a series? I don't know yet. We'll see, because there's a lot of things that I wanted to pack into today that I just couldn't. So this could be a five-day series. It could be a two-week series. I'm not sure. But I do know this, that I wanted to invest the time into this topic and do my best, because you guys have been asking for it a lot. And that topic is investing. So we're going to dive into it, all the different parts, the fundamentals, and get a real good understanding of what is investing, what are some of the terms, what are some strategies, what are some things that you can do to make you successful in your investing. Before we get over that, we are part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Oh, that sounds so good off the tongue. You can go over to the old website, crosspolitic.com, and become a member and come alongside of us as we fight, laugh, and feast with shows, with content, with merchandise, with discounts that you get, with exclusive content. And if you use HTBT in the memo field, you get one of these snazzy mugs. That's definitely day-old coffee. So go over to crosspolitic.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, and you'll get a sweet mug, and you might get some other stuff from the CrossPolitic guys as well. It's a twofer of benefits. It's just a plethora of benefits. I love that word, plethora. I'm in a really good mood. I hope you guys had a great weekend. God is so good. I don't know about you, but Hawaii rain is one of the best things in the world. And just that warm sprinkle that comes down after a hot day, it just reminds you of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. I'm telling you. It is great. So it is putting me in a great mood. Before we get into our topic, our part one series of a first ever podcast series, I want to talk to you about 24/7 QBO. They offer white glove customer service. They will help you with your QuickBooks needs. They will help you optimize and get the most out of your money. They will give you the biggest ROI on your investment in QuickBooks. And that is relevant to our topic of investing. You want the best ROI that you can get, the return on investment. And if you are paying a subscription, if you're paying for QuickBooks monthly, and you are just doing the bare minimum, your ROI could be so much better. You could save time, you can save resources, you can save money, hopefully, when tax season comes around, and get those investors to come in because they see how awesome you are and how clean your balance sheet looks and how your financial statements are all organized. Go over to 24/7 QBO. They will help you out and give you white glove customer service, especially now around tax time. There's no better time to go over there. So go check them out. Support our sponsors as they support our show. And lastly, for those of you who are looking for another job and are interested in talking to a recruiter, our very own AD Robles is a technical recruiter who specializes in IT, in those kinds of fields. So if you're a programmer, if you're into big data, if you're a full stack developer, if you're interested to get into that field and you're taking classes, go over to Covenant Recruiter, that's a good name, covenantrecruiter.com. And just go talk to him and see if he can help you take the next step into your career. That is not an ad. That is just one brother to another trying to give him some love. So go over and talk to him. And this could be a blessing to you too. You can find out more from him and just get some ideas and experience from what a recruiter is looking for. And hey, maybe we'll even have him on his show to kind of go into more in depth of how to use a recruiter, what they're good for, what they're not good for, and those kinds of things. He's up in the Northeast, so especially if you're over there, he probably has a lot of really good connections with businesses over there. So check that out. All right. Now, today is going to be a foundation, just the basics, of us understanding what really investment is, we're going to start with a very simple definition, and then we're going to springboard into some very key facts of what you need to know and what you need to understand and why it's so important to invest today. So make sure that you listen to the whole show, because at the end, we're going to be talking about one of the most important topics in investing. Now, to start off, I want to read the definition of investing that I got from Investopedia. Now, Investopedia in and of itself is a great resource for investing. If you're looking for definitions, if you're looking to understand something you read in an article and you didn't know the term, if you need to just, you think you kind of know the concept, but you really want to make sure that you understand it, Investopedia is a great place to start. It's a great place to just read through and to have as a reference as you're starting your investing career. So I really would encourage you to think about going over to Investopedia. So here is the definition of investing from Investopedia: the act of committing money or capital to an endeavor with the expectation of obtaining an additional income or profit. So investing is simply this: you take a certain amount of money today and put it into something to invest in, expecting that you are going to get more money in return in the future. Your return on investment, ROI. I love this definition because so many things fit into this. When we think of investing, you think of New York Stock Exchange. Well, and honestly, there's tons of stock exchanges. There's not just one in New York. There's different stock exchanges throughout the country where different companies have listed their shares of stock. So that's something to keep in mind too, is what kind of investor are you going to be? Are you going to be an investor that looks for companies just in the United States, in the emerging markets, in Japan, in China? All of these different stock markets that exist have different companies in them. So that is something to keep in mind as well. But what I really wanted to hone in on from this definition is that there are many types of investments that you can make: stocks, bonds, currency, real estate, business, side hustles. It could be your own business. It could be your own side hustle. Or it could be somebody else's business and side hustle. Before we go any further into the investment side of the traditional stocks and bonds, I want to just say this, that oftentimes your own business or side hustle can be one of the best investments you make because of this simple fact, that just as much time and research and energy that you put into a business or a side hustle, you should be putting into investing in stocks of other companies and bonds of other companies or of other government, if it's a government bond, other governments. You should be putting in as much time and energy. You shouldn't be a passive investor. I hate that idea. If you just ask a lot of people that were starting to retire in 2008 and just put it all away and didn't expect for the crash to happen, and then they went to cash out their 401ks for retirement and nothing was there. You need to make sure that you are active in your investments and not just putting it away in a 401k and not looking at it and not managing it. You are responsible for your money. Don't be like it's like the example. So if you are investing in a 401k and you're just trusting someone else to do with your money and you're not actively investing, you're not actively looking at what companies that your 401k is investing in and what strategies you are, it's the same thing as giving the responsibility of educating your children to the public schools. Oh, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? It's the same thing. God has given you responsibility for your own finances. Don't pass it off to somebody else. Now, I am not saying don't get financial advice. You know, if you listen to this show, that I am a huge advocate. I'm a huge fan. I'm constantly pushing you to have a financial advisor, a fiduciary financial advisor, who isn't making money off commission, but has set fees, that is looking out for your best interest, because tax codes are so complicated. Your investments, your finances, your real estate, all of these different things, especially as you grow your wealth, that's going to get so much more complicated. You need someone who's an expert in those things who can look out for you. But I'm not going to go into that anymore. But all that to say this is, look, if you are thinking about investing and you're just looking for an easy way out, just a quick way to make money, don't invest your money. There's no such thing as a quick way to make money, and you are going to get burned because you don't know when the next 2008 is going to happen. Remember, the only one who determines who can get wealth is God. And just because you put your money into the stock market doesn't guarantee that you're going to be wealthy. God has to bless you in that. Just ask those people that lost all their money. I mean, if you remember in 2008, people were throwing themselves off the sides of buildings. Like, people were committing suicide because they had all their security and money, and they had all their security in the stock market, and it just slipped from underneath them. Don't put your security and don't put your future in the stock market. Remember, it is God who blesses. Pray for his blessing, and don't just trust the stock market to take care of you. It's God that takes care of you. And thinking about just our political culture, a lot of what happened in 2008 was because of liberal policies. And now, I'm not saying it is all on the government and liberal policies, because the banks definitely had a part to play in it. But the reasons the banks were acting the way they were acting is because of a lot of liberal policies that we don't have time to get into. But where do you think our government is trending? More conservative or more liberal? Do you think there's going to be more policies that are going to impact the financial district just like 2008? Or do you think less are going to be there? And do you think that increases the chance of another stock market crash, another bubble, or not? With the feds and what they do you trust them? I don't trust them. So don't think that your money is safe in the stock market. But I don't want to scare you from it. I want to scare you from just putting your money into an account and checking out. Don't do that. You have to be active. You have to learn. There's plenty of tools. There's plenty of resources. There's plenty of subscriptions of people who do a lot of due diligence. If you don't have as much time as like Warren Buffett does, who meets with management and really dives into all their financials, there's plenty of resources to educate yourself. You have to be smart on how you get educated as well. And we'll get into some of those different tools and graphs and charts and things like that. And while I'm saying that, that reminds me, you need to get really comfortable with reading graphs and charts. Go and just look at different graphs and charts with the stock market. Start learning what they look like, what they mean, because you are going to need to understand trends. You're going to need to understand graphs and performance indicators and economic indicators. All that stuff you need to learn if you are going to be an investor. Now, I'm not saying we all have to be day trade investors. In fact, I really recommend not to be that. You should invest for the long term, but you should be investing in a way where you can start to understand when it's time to get out of the market and let the market sink, and then when it's a good time to be at the bottom and buy, so when the market goes up. You don't have to sell at the very top. You just have to sell somewhere at the top. You don't have to buy at the very bottom. You just have to buy somewhere close to the bottom, and you will be wealthier than somebody who just puts in the money and checks out. And you can go back and look over the last 100 years of the Dow and the S&P and see the hilly waves. It's like the Palouse in Idaho, just a bunch of rolling hills. And you can calculate it. How much would you make if you kept your money in on those rolling hills? And how much money would you have made more than that if you would have sold at the high and then put all that money back in at the low and done that instead? And you will be amazed with how much more money you will make. It doesn't matter that you're not at the very top or the very bottom. It's that you're not riding the whole waves of the ups and downs. And that's where the graphs, that's where the charts, that's where the political climate comes into play. The indicators, knowing what the Fed's going to do and thinking about and listening to them and what they are planning, that all goes into those ups and downs. Don't check out the stock market. It takes as much time as business and side hustles do. I mean, don't check out of your investments in the stock market. Okay, so now this is going to be the really important lesson for us to learn, and that is compounding interest. And what is compounding interest? It's simply this. It's when you make or have to pay interest, when interest accrues, then you get interest on that interest. And an example, I'm going to have two examples. So one example is if you invest $1 in year zero, so from the very beginning, you're going to say, I have $10 to invest and I'm going to invest. And you make a dollar return or 10% return on your investment, your ROI. So at the end of year one, in the beginning of year two, you leave that dollar you made in there and now you have $11 invested. You only put in 10, but now you have 11. And what compounding interest does is it starts paying interest on the $11 instead of the $10. So instead of interest on $10, you're making interest on $11. And this is where it gets cool, because you didn't put any more money in for the second year, but you're just letting it ride. So you have $11 invested for the second year. So you make a 10% investment again, you make $1.10, which is more than the first year. And if you leave it in 10, 15, 20 years, it just builds off of that. And you're not making interest off that $10 for the next 10, 20 years, you're making interest off the interest you made. And that is a very powerful concept to understand, and why you need to be investing now, because of that compounding interest. And this is an example we're gonna go over. I got it from WindgateWealth.com. I don't know much about them. I was Googling examples. I wanted to get a really good example to drive home this point of why it's important to invest as early as possible. And they just have a really great example of it that we're gonna get to. And it's just gonna, again, drive home the point that you need to be investing early because of this principle of compounding interest. So here we go. So there's three people in this example, and there's gonna be a chart for you to view in the video if you're watching this. If you're listening, I'll put it in the show notes. I really encourage you to check it out one way or the other. So there's these three people, Alice, Barney, and Christopher, and they have the exact same return on investment. So they make 7% annual investment return every year. So that all they're saying is, for the lifetime of their investments, they make 7% on whatever they put into the stock market every year, plus the interest they make. The only difference is how often and how much they invest. So here are the scenarios. Alice invests $5,000 per year beginning at age 18. At age 28, she stops putting money in. So for 10 years, she's putting in $5,000 every year. And at the end of the 10th year, she stops. She leaves her investments in the market or wherever she's investing in her portfolios. And she's still making the 7% after the 10 years every year until she's 58. So she has a total of 10 years of putting $5,000 a year into her investments for a total of $50,000. Second person, Barney, invests the same $5,000, but he begins where she left off. So he starts investing at 28 instead of 18, 10 years later. And he puts in $5,000 until 58. So instead of investing for only 10 years, he's putting in $5,000 a year for 30 years for a total of $150,000. Alice put in $50,000. Barney put in $150,000, but started 10 years after Alice for a total of 20 years of investing for $100,000. Now, our third character, Christopher, he started when he was 18 and put $5,000 in a year until he was 58 for 40 years, for a total of $200,000. And you can see on this chart that I'm pulling up now that Christopher, at the end of the 58 years, made $1.14 million off of that $200,000 investment. Alice made $602,000 off of her investment of $50,000. And Barney made $540,000 off of his $150,000 investment. Now, a few observations about this. Alice made more money in her lifetime investing less for fewer years because she started at 18 instead of 28. So she started 10 years earlier, invested till she was 28 and stopped and left the money in. And we got the same return as Christopher and Barney. And Barney still, even though he put in three times as much, he put in 33% more, invested 25% longer, So he invested for 20 years, or in 30 years, excuse me. He invested for 30 years, and Alice invested for 10 years, and Alice still made more money. Barney was not able to catch up to Alice. So that is just shows how much compounding interest you can make investing young, assuming 7% interest. Now, this is the second point I want us to understand, is that The 7% interest is no guarantee. And stock market goes up and down. And you never know where the stock market's going to be when you need to cash out that money at your retirement. So another reason for you to be conscious and aware of your investments, especially later in life when you're getting closer to needing that money for retirement, you need to be paying attention to the stock market and understanding how much money you need to survive. And if you have what you need in your investments, take it out so you don't risk losing it. Again, talk to a financial advisor about that. So that is compounding interest. The point is that you need to invest young, early, and often, and let the interest work for you. That is my big recommendation. Now, a few other recommendations. If you don't know where to start, a good place to start is to max out your Roth IRA. I think it's $5,500 for in 2018 that you can put in every year. And there's tax implications with that. And if you're over 50, you can put up to $6,500. Contribute to your 401k. If you have an employer stock purchase program, I would really encourage that. If it makes sense. There's sometimes where they have some rules that are silly, like you have to wait a certain amount of time to sell it, which sometimes doesn't make it worth it, but check that out. And again, talk to a financial advisor and work through that. Those are two great places to start. Usually there's a discount on the stock price, that's why. Now, the last employer that I did that with, they gave me a 15% discount from either the beginning or end of the quarter of whatever was lower. And then, so automatically I got a 15% return on my investment on that, which is pretty nice. And again, start younger, and the younger, the better. And you can see with how Barney, he was hurt. He never caught up to Alice because he started 10 years after her. All right, if you have any questions, please reach out to me. I know financial stuff can be confusing. I hope it's not boring and just dragged on for how long we went. Reach out to me, matthowtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. I'd love to hear from you. And if there's any specific financial topics while we're in this series you want me to cover, let me know. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day. God bless.